Well, today marks a key milestone in the election campaign with the start of pre-polling ahead of May 21. Voters who can't cast their ballots on election day can attend one of the more than 500 early polling stations opening up across the country from this morning. And if you look at the last couple of campaigns, there is a trend towards this, a lot more people pre-polling. On another front, two coalition candidates have been referred to the federal police for allegedly providing false information to the Australian Electoral Commission. Tom Rogers is the Electoral Commissioner and our guest. Tom, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia.
At the last election, there were about 4.7 million votes cast before Election Day, which was an extraordinary 31% of the eligible population. I just think that's huge. What are you expecting this time?
It's even bigger if you add the postal votes onto that at the last election. I think 40% of people either postal voted or pre-poll voted. So we're really getting to the kind of voting period rather than the voting day. It's quite extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. So what are you expecting this time then?
We think there'll be an increase again in pre-poll voting, obviously, with COVID and other issues. We're expecting an increase in postal votes. In fact, we're seeing that increase already, Patricia. I think we've received something like about 2 million applications to date, which is, you know, more than we received last time at this point in the campaign. I'd probably remind people that it really is supposed to be an in-person community event where people vote on the day, and it'll be safe to do so. And you actually need a reason to pre-poll vote or to postal vote, but we are expecting an increase.
Okay. In 2019, the pre-poll period was 3 weeks. This year it's been truncated to 2 weeks. Is that to make the process more manageable for the Electoral Commission and for the parties who have to find the volunteers to hand out how-to-vote cards?
Well, that decision was a decision by Parliament. And there are a whole range of reasons that the Joint Standing Committee on Electoral Matters said were the reasons behind that. For us, we're managing that process the best way we can in any case. And I just point out, Patricia, normally pre-poll builds anyway, that the most usage is in the final week of pre-poll. And that's been the traditional thing. The first, you know, week when it was 3 weeks was normally relatively quiet. So, you know, it'll be fine. We're managing that. We'll have all the COVID safety measures in place that you would expect at the pre-poll centres.
There are a whole range of circumstances why someone is allowed to cast a pre-ballot. You've just mentioned, you know, that the instinct is, you know, you should turn up on the day it's an event. They might be travelling outside their seat on election day or unable to leave their place of work, for example. But do you believe all 4.7 million voters last time had a legitimate reason for voting early? It's a lot of people.
Well, look, we do point out to people that they need to qualify for that vote, but we don't look behind that. You can imagine how that would be, Patricia, if we asked people, 4 point something million people, to prove exactly why they couldn't be there on the day. But we are running a campaign this time saying plan your vote. Think about your own circumstances. And if you are travelling and you can't get to a polling place on polling day, there are other options such as pre-poll and postal. But again, I am expecting the majority of people will vote on polling day the way they always have. And we're set up that way. And I know it'll be a great day and a great event.
Another way to vote is by post. In 2019, there were about 1.6 million postal votes. How many people have so far replied? And this is an important question because postal votes can often determine the outcome in a close seat.
I think I mentioned before, I think we've had something like about 2 million applications already, thereabouts. So that's, if you think what you just said before, that was the total number for the entire election. We've already received about 2 million. So there's obviously going to be an increase in postal votes. And as you pointed out, this is a little known fact, Patricia, but it's so important. Particularly for those close seats, we have to wait for 13 days after polling day for all of those postal votes to come back. And that sometimes causes some frustration because people say to me, well, look, it's just paper, just count the votes. When we don't have those votes, we can't count them because legislatively we've got to wait for that 13-day period. So it can have an impact. You're absolutely right, Patricia.
And in 2019, almost 40% of votes were cast by pre-poll or postal. Why doesn't the AEC count them as they come in? I know you just addressed it, but is there kind of ways, do we need to change the rules? Oh, so many people on my text line are filling it up saying, I hate waiting, you know, waiting is hard.
I
don't like waiting either.
Look, I tell you, none of us like waiting. So let me join that chorus of none of us like waiting. But generally speaking, Patricia, the Electoral Commission counts the votes when it gets them. lawfully counts the votes when it gets them. But that, particularly for those seats. Now, I've just used a statistic here from memory, but I think over 20% of the seats last time were close enough that we had to wait for that full 13-day period. And we counted the votes as they arrived each day. It's just that we, by law, we've got to wait for that period to occur. So, of course, if there are a larger number of close seats, we've got to wait for that period. It does cause frustrations, but can I just urge people, it's not the AEC, it's just the legislation requires us to do that. And, of course, that's a good thing in many ways because it means that people are having their say and that votes are being counted and everyone gets to express their wishes through the ballot box.
The AEC has referred two candidates to the AFP, the LNP candidate Vivian Lobo in Lilly and Liberal hopeful Robbie Beaton in Isaacs. Both have allegedly provided false addresses to the Australian Electoral Commission. You can't talk about either case because they are now a matter for the police, I know. But generally speaking, how serious is enrolment fraud and what's the penalty you've proven?
Look, I'd prefer to make no comment about that, Patricia, as you've just pointed out, other than to say that we do take it incredibly seriously. And in fact, there are a number of other issues at play there. And I'm not speaking about those cases, just be very clear, I'm making a generic comment, that making a false declaration is a serious thing in any case, not just for the Electoral Act, but there are other acts that are breached there as well. So it's a serious matter. But I just point out for these two individuals, it's been referred to the AFP. It's an assertion and an allegation at the moment that will have to be investigated by the AFP, and that's now a matter for them.
There's also the extraordinary matter of the fake election posters nailed to a cemetery fence in the New South Wales seat of Hume. Now, they wrongly claimed independent candidate Penny Ackery is standing for the Greens. Penny Ackery buried her husband just a few weeks ago in the same graveyard after he died from cancer. It's actually just so awful, the whole thing. Mm. It's such an awful story. Is the AEC investigating this case?
Yeah, look, we are. There have been a number of issues at this election. Just to be clear, there are actually normal issues at every election, but we've seen more this election where signs have been plastered over with other party logos and bits and pieces. We're investigating all of those. And in fact, we're looking at that very, very seriously. The key thing for us is about making sure that messages are authorised. I think citizens deserve to know who is making statements and where that information is coming from. So we're looking at that. We're looking at it very actively. We've been looking over the weekend. We're also seeking some information from various entities, and I won't go into the detail because it's under active investigation at the moment, but I endorse what you've said there, Patricia. There are fairly simple rules at the election, and to make sure that it's a level playing field, it's really important for candidates and parties to adhere to those very simple rules.
Mm, it's all very, you know,
unpleasant.
University politics or something.
Unpleasant.
Adults. A number of Teal candidates in Sydney and Melbourne have also complained that their posters have been doctored to make them look like they are running for the Greens. How widespread is that kind of misrepresentation, and what's the penalty for interfering with election signage?
Oddly, the Electoral Commission, people quite often come to us and show us photos of signs that have been ripped down or smashed and say, what are we going to do about it? That bit is not anything to do with the Electoral Commission.
Oh, okay.
If a sign is ripped apart or sign placement, you know, where signs are put up or taken down, but where information is put on a sign that's not authorised, that is a matter that we're concerned about. And we are looking at some of those issues at the moment, exactly the same as that previous one that you mentioned.
Okay, so I know you just said your Integrity Task Force is investigating. Would you encourage people to come forward and let you know about the dodgy posters?
If you've got information where it looks like there's unauthorised material in particular, please let us know. And there's a number of ways of doing that. Jump on our website is the best way of doing it. And that assists us in working out what's going on. So please do.
So, Tom, before I let you go, this is Christmas for you, let's be honest. We're about to hit a big event for you. How are you feeling?
Look, we're really excited. I mean, that's a great description, by the way, and it is Christmas for the AEC. We're very conscious that this is an event not owned by the AEC. It's owned by the entire community, and we're delivering that event on behalf of the community, and it's obviously what we live for. The staff are keen, and we're ready to go.
Look, I'm silent on the electoral roll. I've received my vote. It came early. You've done an excellent job when it comes to me, just one mere voter. So good job there, Tom. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Well, just make sure no artwork on that when it comes back, just a straight vote, and that'll be great.
What are you suggesting about me, Tom Rogers? Artwork. Yeah, good idea. Australian Electoral Commissioner Tom Rogers there.